Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi got a message from our friend in Owerri, Imo State, Nigeria, Magnus Chisholm Onwudiwe, the humble apostle of the sunny side of sports. And Magnus writes, very interesting fight coming up Saturday night in Lincoln, Nebraska. Terrence Crawford versus Julius Ndongo, a.k.a. the Blue Machine. And Magnus also adds, big thumbs up to you, Mr. Sonny, as well as Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. This is a very interesting fight, isn't it, Nnamdi?
Sonny, let me start by saying kedu to the honest apostle, you know, my evil brother, you know, where in Nigeria. Sonny, Saturday, history will be made, Sonny. There are four belts on the table. The last time this happened was 2005. This is for all the marbles, Sonny. Two guys, undefeated. We've not seen this, and we're expecting nothing but a good fight Saturday night.
Julius Ndongo, the Blue Machine from Namibia, the Sunny Side of Sports Fighter of the Year for 2016. Nnamdi, I know you've told our VOA boxing fans that Ndongo has fought before in the Lion's Den. He went to Moscow in 2016 and knocked out the Russian Troyanovsky in only 40 seconds. What do you think his chances are basically fighting on the home turf of Terrence Crawford?
Well, Sonny, like you said, he's been a road warrior. He's been able to tune out the audience, and he will not be distracted. Ndongo is a solid fighter. He can punch. And you remember 40 seconds in Moscow, what he did to Troyanovsky. He's tall, rangy, a southpaw. He can also box, Sonny. Remember, he went to Glasgow and outclassed Ricky Burns, where we crowned him the king of Scotland. He can fight. He has the reach, taller and bigger. But in Terence Crawford, Sonny, we are going to see an elite fighter who is in the pound-for-pound class, who can fight, who is also undefeated in 31-0.
Would you say Crawford is the toughest opponent yet for Ndongo?
Crawford is way above those two guys Ndongo just beat, the Russian and Ricky Barnes in Glasgow. Crawford will come to fight. Now, not only that, Crawford has the audience behind him. He has the promoter. He has the referee. He has the judges. You know, the only way you can win is by you killing him in the ring.
Nnamdi, you said Julius Ndongo will not be distracted in Lincoln, Nebraska, but I hear he had to pay some sanctioning fees. Would that be a distraction for him?
No, Sonny, because remind you again, it's a four belts on the line. And, you know, the sanctioning fees is where these guys make their money. You know, without the sanctioning fees, they won't be able to have a big office in Mexico or Panama and pay their staff. Each fighter will drop $100,000, Sonny, to sanction this fight. And that is the only way you can fight for these belts, you know. We may laugh about this belt that they don't mean anything, but these organizations, they don't joke. When they say, we need the sanctioning fees, you must pay this money before you step into the ring. And after the fight, it will be deducted from your check.
In the build-up to this fight, Nnamdi, both fighters trained right there in your backyard in Los Angeles. Can you break it down how each fighter looked?
I was able to see Ndongo at Wildcat Gym and also talk to Freddie Roach. He came across like a solid puncher, you know, and he got a good range, lanky. All he needs to do is to outbox Terence Crawford. If he goes there, try to mix it up, that's where he can get in trouble. Use the jab, keep the guy at bay, and win unanimous decision and go back to win Hook Namibia. No point in trying to prove anything and prove you're a puncher because Bud Crawford, Terence Crawford, he can fight, and all he needs to do is just move in and stay in the body.
Namdi, can you talk a little bit about the broadcast of this fight and also the venue?
Sonny, this fight will be on ESPN on a Saturday night, Sonny. And it can go bigger than that. Exposure. The venue already is almost sold out. This is in the city, Lincoln, Nebraska, where they will come out and support the homeboy who is from Omaha, Nebraska. Exposure is big. It's a Saturday night. It's ESPN. And it's going to be a good one because the winner of this fight will make history. The winner of this fight will become one of the best in the game.
And will the winner of this fight move up in weight?
It depends on the winner of this fight. If it's Terence Crawford, Terence Crawford will then step up to the welterweight division, which is 147 pounds. Now he's doing the super lightweight and he's trying to make weight. It's not easy. So we'll see what will happen after Saturday night. For King Ndongo, or they call him the Namibian Rocky, a win Saturday night will make him the first undisputed champion from the mother continent, Africa. We all will stand tall and proud if he's able to pull a big, huge upset come Saturday night.
And I know, Namdi, Namibia's national soccer team nicknamed the Brave Warriors. We got a brave warrior here in Ndongo, don't we?
Brave warrior that's undefeated is able to go in there and just blank the skies out. I mean, kudos to him. No matter what happens Saturday night, as long as he's not knocked out, if he puts up a good fight, boxing fans here in America will respect him.
1 week after Ndongo Crawford, the mega bout between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. What's the latest on this one, Namdi?
The Nevada State Athletic Boxing Commission have just approved the use of 8-ounce gloves for this fight because in the real fight world, anything above 147 pounds, it means you must use a 10-ounce glove. For this fight, it's 8-ounce glove.
Does that work to Mayweather's advantage, Namdi, or McGregor's?
Well, McGregor claims he's a puncher. And for a puncher, a 10-ounce glove will not work for him. An 8-ounce glove means his punch will be felt by the other guy. Mind you, both camps requested for 8-ounce glove. And it's interesting it's going to happen on the 26th because 8-ounce gloves with Floyd Mayweather, we may see a quick knockout. And if he, on the 26th of August, does not deliver a knockout and it becomes another boring fight like the fight with Manny Pacquiao, the boxing world will not forgive him. We are waiting for nothing less than an explosive knockout because this guy said a lot against the fight fraternity. We want to see him laid out flat cold, bro. He's getting paid, but we're not happy about it. He's got to be knocked out cold, counted out, man. Anything 12th round unanimous decision is a joke.
He believes that it's not going to go past four, and I believe that it's not going to go the distance at all. So he feels one way, I feel another way. We're both confident in our skills, and we'll just have to see.
Both McGregor and Mayweather active on social media. They've been releasing videos. How about an update on the video side?
Well, interesting because, Sonny, Paulie Malignaggi, former two-time world champion, and when we talk about fight broadcasters on television today, he's one of the top guys, you know. They brought him in and then had him spar 12 rounds. This guy has been retired, is out of shape, and they secretly videotaped it and ended up editing it, showing where the guy was pushed down or knocked down. And everybody's like, what's this? You know, just to show the fight fans that, oh, I had this guy dropped, and all kind of craziness erupted. But we in the fight business, Sonny, we have paid close attention to these tapes. And what we have seen is just a joke, Sonny. This guy's got his chin sticking out, man. He's got his hands down, Sonny. How can you fight Floyd Mayweather with your chin out with no defense, you know? How can you fight the best defensive fighter on the planet today with your hands down? This guy has never gone 12 rounds, Sonny.
This is people doubting me, questioning my skill set. Talking as if I'm a novice. Talking as if I haven't been doing this my entire life. I've been fighting since day one and I'm the best there is. So I can fight in many forms.
How can you go 12 rounds with Floyd Mayweather? Yeah, Floyd Mayweather will toy with him for the early parts of the round. And I think he is going to come in and blow him out. And if he's unable to do that, then Floyd Mayweather has a lot to answer.
Would you say McGregor maybe has that lucky puncher's chance, Namdi?
Sonny, don't count him out, Sonny. You know, in the fight game, this is not wrestling. This is sweet science. They're going to follow the boxing rules, you know. Anything can happen. This cat, McGregor, can punch a little bit, you know, because he's knocked guys out in the MMA. How about if he goes in there and tag Floyd Mayweather clean on the chin and Floyd is knocked out? That can happen, Sonny. Don't count that out. That can, but, you know, it's going to be a huge earthquake in the fight world, Sonny. But this is what people are paying to see, Sonny. They're paying to see if Floyd Mayweather will be knocked out. Then Monday morning, Floyd Mayweather will go to the bank and laugh to the bank.
All right. Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Turning to African athletics, the future of Namibian track great Frankie the Flash Fredericks as a top international sports administrator looks very murky right now. The 49-year-old Fredericks was implicated in an IAAF corruption scandal earlier this year, stemming from a large cash payment he received in 2009. Fredericks was temporarily suspended last month for ethics violations. On Thursday, the suspension was upheld by the Independent Athletics Integrity Unit, which is investigating Fredericks over money he received from Papa Massata Diack, the son of former IAAF president Lamine Diack, on the day Rio de Janeiro won the vote to host the 2016 Olympics. Fredericks has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing. He admitted he received money from Massata Diack, but Frankie said it was payment for legitimate work he had done. Earlier this year, Fredericks, an International Olympic Committee member, stepped down as head of the team evaluating bids to host the 2024 Olympics. Fredericks also removed himself from an IAAF task force investigating doping allegations in Russia. During his sprinting days, Frankie the Flash Fredericks won 4 Olympic silver medals, as well as 1 gold and 3 silver at the IAAF World Championships. Our friend in London, the energetic Andy Edwards, has been looking at some of the highlights from the recent World Championships in the British capital. Andy says Britain's gold medal-winning 4x100 meters men's relay team gave the home fans a lot to cheer about.
Looking at the race and looking back at the replays of that men's 4x100, the sprint relay, various points occur. One, the US quartet, although it is pretty good, and of course it had the individual 100-meter champion Justin Gatlin and the silver medalist Christian Coleman. Coleman ran the anchor leg for the Americans. It wasn't necessarily the greatest quartet they've ever put out. And the British 4x100 team, everything went right for them. The handovers were just right. It's a very fine line in the 4x100 because you've got to make sure you get the stick, the baton round, but also use every inch of space within the permitted handover area. But if you step just a smidgen outside, that's it, DQ, you're disqualified. So the British did everything right, and every individual leg, from CJ Uja leading off, Adam Jamili, who's a tremendous 200-metre runner, then Danny Talbot, also a very good 200-metre runner, and then the anchor leg with Nathaniel Mitchell-Blake, he was superb, and he held off Christian Coleman. Now, Mitchell Blake, interesting story there, because the Americans, in a sense, could claim him because he's come through the U.S. college system. He's still there now. He was born, actually, in the very area of the London Olympic Stadium, Newham, and then went to live in Jamaica for 13 years. So apparently there, that his nickname was the British amongst his sprint colleagues. Then he goes to U.S. college. So Jamaica and then the U.S. college system, that's a very, you can't get a tougher testing ground, rearing ground for a young sprinter. But he comes back to Britain and he's running that anchor leg, and he's shown big, big promise in these championships. And the British quartet set a national record as well. So I think they have won in the past, but that could be because the US quartet dropped the baton or were disqualified and didn't reach the final. This was everybody on the line. And of course, what I haven't mentioned so far, Jamaica thought they would be a factor. But unfortunately, Usain Bolt running that anchor leg, he comes around and you think, can he make up the ground? And then he gets the injury and he's lying there on the track while everybody else is steaming across the finish line. So, yes, that 4x100 had loads of drama, and I think the British quartet were worthy champions.
Thanks, Andy. That's the energetic Andy Edwards. And Andy was talking with us from London.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
I understand a Cleveland Cavaliers basketball superstar tops your trending topics again.
Yes, we talked about LeBron James yesterday at the top of the trends, and today we're talking about him again, but for a different reason. There are reports circulating on social media that this upcoming National Basketball Association season will be LeBron James's last in Cleveland with the Cavaliers due to disputes with the team's ownership. Now, this was actually reported on Twitter by a journalist named Chris Sheridan, who said that LeBron was unhappy with the owners there who he was looking to leave. Lots of speculation as to whether or not this is true, but it's worth noting Chris Sheridan was the first to report on LeBron's return to Cleveland. So he seems to have an inside track on these kind of things. So this could very well be true. If it is, it's huge news, certainly for the fans of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They were very excited to see LeBron come home. He's from the Cleveland, Ohio area. They would be just as sad to see him leave. Lots of questions, too, about where LeBron might end up. And what about Kyrie Irving? The two of them had that back and forth, the kind of fight. Kyrie Irving said he was going to leave. LeBron was trying to push him out, supposedly. So where does that leave Kyrie Irving? Does he stay in Cleveland? Does he leave as well? Where do the two of them end up? So a lot of interest going on. Even though we're not in the NBA season, it's not yet begun. We're still months away from that. But still a lot of talk about this.
A lot of talk. And this would, in fact, be the second time LeBron has left Cleveland. He left originally to join the Miami Heat. And I know the fans in Cleveland then were just crushed by that. So I don't know how they'd react to a second departure.
Now, the one caveat there is that LeBron has since then come back to Cleveland and won a title with Cleveland. So at least he's not leaving without having ever gotten them a title. So that might be some consolation. But I think for most fans, they would be pretty unhappy about that.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we talk a lot about tennis, and one of the players we talk about is Victoria Azarenka. Of course, she took off from the tour to have her baby, her son Leo, and she is making her way back into tennis. But she today posted a long message to Instagram telling fans that she may not be able to play at the U.S. Open this year, not because of injury, but because of a personal matter. She said that shortly after her son Leo was born, she and Leo's father separated, and as they work out their legal process of separation, she'd have to potentially leave her son in California to play at the U.S. Open in New York, literally across the country here in the U.S., and she said she's not willing to do that as a mother, so she is trying to work this out. She mentions that it's a challenge to be a single parent and have a work-life balance, even for a major sports star like her. But she's telling her fans that this information, she wanted to let them know and saying that hopefully they can work it out in time for the U.S. Open. Fans are responding to this on social media with lots of love and support for Azarenka, hoping that it gets worked out, hoping that she'll make it to the U.S. Open. And a lot of people noting that, indeed, even though she is a sports star, she still has to deal with these things. So these are common themes for working parents and for people who have to deal with the day-to-day of their relationships. So lots of support going her way, and hopefully she will get everything worked out and make it to the U.S. Open.
And Andrew, speaking of motherhood and professional tennis players, I believe Serena Williams is due right around the end of August when the U.S. Open gets underway. So we wish Serena well. We hope she delivers a healthy baby. And she's going to have to deal with a few things once she becomes a mom.
Definitely. Certainly caring for a child is the chief among them. But she's talked about wanting to come back to tennis, so she's going to have to train. She put up a post on Instagram the other day where she said that she has sausage fingers and her ankles are swollen and her toes are swollen. So certainly it's taking a physical toll on her being pregnant. But she is nearing the end of the pregnancy, so we expect. We're not sure exactly when she's supposed to have this baby, but we think it's around end of August, beginning of September. So it may end up being that the biggest news story around the U.S. Open time is not a player that's on the court. It might be Serena Williams.
That could be true. What else is trending on this Thursday, Andrew?
Well, finally, Sonny, we talk a lot on the show about all these new stadiums going up here in the U.S. and all the perks and bells and whistles and things. And the Atlanta Falcons of the National Football League are going to be playing in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's a brand new stadium right there in the state of Georgia near Atlanta when the season kicks off next month. And there are lots of new eateries in that stadium, including a restaurant called Chick-fil-A. It's a very popular fast food chicken restaurant that has outlets, branches all over the U.S. Well, Chick-fil-A has strong religious views, so as part of their company policy, all their restaurants are closed on Sundays. You could see why this would be a problem, because the National Football League, all the games, or virtually all the games, are played on Sundays. So, in fact, this restaurant will be closed most of the games there at the new Falcons Stadium. There will only be three games this season where it will potentially be open, two Monday night football games and one Thursday night football game. So this is getting a lot of attention. People saying it's a huge fail, but other people noting that they do have other events there. They have college football games, which are usually played on Saturday, so they will have potentially be open for that. But I love this one tweet. One fan said, "Falcons scoring a Chick-fil-A in their stadium to have it be closed on Sundays is like winning three quarters of a game and blowing it in the fourth, just like they did in the Super Bowl." So a little harsh there.
Ouch, but, ouch. Yeah. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the August 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The campaign against ISIS has dramatically accelerated over the past 6 months. Since 2014, when ISIS was at the height of its power, the group has lost about 78% of the territory it used to hold in Iraq and about 58% of the territory it used to hold in Syria. They can no longer operate there. Nearly 30% of all the territory that has been retaken from ISIS, about 20,000 square kilometers, has actually happened in the last 6 months, said Special Presidential Envoy for the Global Coalition to Counter ISIS, Brett McGurk, at a recent press conference. Importantly, of all that territory that they have lost, they have not regained.
They have never been able to retake any of this ground, and we're going to make sure that that continues. Importantly, not just territory, but even more important, people. Almost 5 million people who had been living under ISIS are no longer living under ISIS. They have been liberated by coalition-enabled operations on the ground.
This change is due to four key changes that were put in place very early in the administration of President Donald Trump, said Special Envoy McGurk. First, the White House delegated tactical authority from Washington down through the chain of command to our commanders on the ground. That has made a tremendous difference in our ability to seize opportunities from ISIS. Second, we now conduct a campaign of annihilation. Prior to a military operation, we surround the enemy so that foreign fighters in particular cannot escape. Every foreign fighter that made its way into Syria and Iraq, we want to make sure that they can never make their way out of Syria and Iraq, said Mr. McGurk. Third, we look for ways to increase our burden sharing from the coalition. In other words, every member contributes. And finally, we engage every part of our government in the process to attack the enemy on every front, said Mr. McGurk. We're taking advantage of opportunities, working not just in Iraq and Syria, but also to sever the financial connections and propaganda networks that continue to fuel terrorist groups like this.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Five years ago, Voice of America made its first broadcast. Today, we broadcast in over 45 languages all over the world. We broadcast in every means that people could possibly want to receive their news and information. We use radio still. We use television. We broadcast for the web, for mobile, and if new forms of communication are invented, we'll be there too. Our mission is really, really simple. We give neutral, fair, objective, independent news and information to people who have no other access to it. And we tell America's story. And America's story is rich and full. It goes from the entrepreneurial climate of Silicon Valley to our great universities to health and medicine and medical advances. It's also the story of America's diaspora, the people who came here from all over the world. I started my journalistic career more than 50 years ago, and here today at Voice of America, I remember just why I became a journalist. It's such a privilege to be working here with the great men and women who are telling America's story and providing neutral news and information around the world. I'm so happy to be here at Voice of America as it celebrates its 75th anniversary, and I feel proud to welcome it into the next 75 years.
VOA. Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.